The gathering at the campfire that night was solemn and fraught with uncertainty and anxiety. No one in the family knew what Dorian had decided. Yasmini, sitting beside her husband, answered the silent question that Sarah flashed to her across the firelit circle with a resigned lift of her shoulders. Tom alone was determinedly cheerful. While they ate grilled fish with chunks of new-baked bread, he retold the story of their grandfather Francis Courtney and the capture of the Dutch East India galleon off Cape Orgullis nearly 60 years before. He explained to them where Francis had hidden his booty, in a cave up at the headwaters of the stream that ran into the lagoon near where Mansur had shot the buffalo the previous day. Then he laughed as he pointed out the trenches and overgrown excavations all around their encampment that the Dutch had dug in their efforts to find and retrieve the plundered treasure. While they sweated and swore, our own father, Hal Courtney, had spirited away the booty long before, he told them. But they had heard the story often enough not to be amazed by it. In the end, even Tom was defeated by the silence, and instead of regaling them further, he addressed himself to the bowl of spiced buffalo stew that the women had served after the fish. Dorian ate little. Before the silver coffee pot was brought from its cradle over the coals, he told Tom, "If you agree, brother, I will speak to Cadum now and give him my decision." "Aye, Dorry," Tom agreed. "'Twould be best to have done with the whole business. The ladies have been sitting on a nest of ants since yesterday," he shouted for Betula. "Tell Cadum he might join our council, if he has a mind." Cadum came striding down the beach. He walked like a desert warrior, lithe and long-limbed, and prostrated himself before Dorian. Mansur leaned forward eagerly. He and Dorian had left the camp earlier that day and passed many hours alone together in the forest. Only they knew what they had discussed. Yasmini looked at her son's shining face, and her heart sank. "He is so young and beautiful," she thought, "so bright and strong. Of course he pines for such an adventure as he sees here. He knows only the ballad singer's romantic vision of battle. He dreams of glory, power, and a throne. For depending on the choice Dorian makes this evening, the elephant throne of Oman might one day be his." She drew the veil over her face to hide her fears. "My son does not understand what pain and suffering the crown will bring him all the days of his life. He knows nothing of the poisoned cup and the assassin's blade. He does not understand that the caliphate is a slavery more oppressive than the chains of the galley slave or those of the worker in the copper mines of Monomotapa." Her thoughts were interrupted when Cadum greeted Dorian. "The prophet's blessing upon you, Majesty, and the peace of God. May he bless our undertakings." "It is early to speak of Majesty, Cadum al-Juf," Dorian cautioned him. "Wait rather until you have heard my decision." "Your decision has already been made for you by the prophet and saint, Mulla al-Alama. He died in his 99th year in the mosque on Lamu Island, praising God with his last breath." "I did not know he was dead," Dorian said sadly, "though in all truth, at that venerable age, it could not have been otherwise. He was a holy man indeed. I knew him well. It was his hand that circumcised me. He was my wise counsellor and a second father to me."
"In his last days he thought of you and made a prophecy."
Dorian inclined his head. "You may recite the words of the holy Mullah." Cadum had the gift of rhetoric, and his voice was strong but pleasing. "The orphan from the sea, he who won the elephant for his father, shall sit upon its back when the father has passed, and he shall wear a crown of red gold." Cadum spread his arms. "Majesty, the orphan of the prophecy can mean no other than you, for you are crowned now in red gold, and you were the victor of the battle that gave the elephant throne to your adoptive father, Caliph Abd Muhammad al-Malik." A long silence followed his ringing speech, and Cadum stood with arms outstretched like the prophet himself. Dorian broke the silence at last. "I have heard your pleas, and I will give you my decision that you must take back to the sheikhs of Oman, but first I must tell you how I have reached it." Dorian placed his hand upon Mansur's shoulder.
This is my son, my only son. My decision touches him deeply. He and I have discussed it in every detail. His fierce young heart is hot for the enterprise, just as mine was at the same age. He has urged me to accept the invitation of the sheikhs.
Your son is wise far beyond his years, said Kadam. If it please Allah, he shall rule in Muscat after you.
Bismillah, cried Batula and Kumra together.
If God pleases, cried Mansur in Arabic, his expression wrapped with joy.
Dorian held up his right hand and they fell silent again.
There is another who is touched deeply by my decision. He took Yasmini's hand. The Princess Yasmini has been my companion and my wife all these years from childhood to this day. I swore an oath to her long ago, a blood oath. He turned to her.
Do you remember my marriage vows to you?
I remember, my lord husband, she said softly.
But I thought you might have forgotten.
I swore two vows to you. The first was that even though the law and the prophets allow it, I would take no other wife than you. I have kept that vow.
Yasmini was not able to speak, but she nodded.
At the movement, a tear that trembled on her long eyelashes detached itself and splashed upon the silk that covered her bosom, leaving a wet stain.
The second oath I swore that day was that I would not cause you pain if it was in my power to prevent it.
Yasmini nodded again.
Let all of you here present know that if I were to take up the invitation of the sheikhs to the elephant throne, it would cause the Princess Yasmini pain more poignant than the pain of death itself.
The silence drew out, tingling in the night, like the threat of summer thunder.
Dorian stood up and spread his arms. This is my reply. May God hear my words. May the holy prophets of Islam bear witness to my oath.
Tom was amazed by the transformation that had overtaken his younger brother. Now he looked like a king indeed. But Dorian's next words shattered that illusion.
Tell them that my love and admiration is with them still, as it was at the Battle of Muscat and every day since then. Despite this, the burden they would place upon me is too heavy for my heart and my shoulders. They must find another for the elephant throne. I cannot take up the caliphate and keep true to my oath to the Princess Yasmini.
Mansur gave a small involuntary cry of distress. He leapt to his feet and ran into the night. Tom jumped up and might have chased after him had not Dorian shaken his head.
Let him go, brother. His disappointment is sharp, but it will pass.
He sat down again and turned to smile at Yasmini. An expression of adoration shone upon her lovely face.
I have kept both my oaths to you, Dorian said.
My lord, she whispered, my own heart.
Kadam stood up again, his face expressionless. He bowed deeply to Dorian.
As my prince commands, he agreed softly. Would that I could call you majesty. It saddens me, but that is not to be. God's will be done.
He turned and strode away into the darkness, heading in the opposite direction to that taken by Mansur.